numbers. And this also applies to the pension funds that are having problems nowadays, too. Those fixes mean that's the amount of money you would have to have invested today, and in the case of Social Security, earning 5.7% interest. In the case of the pension funds, they expect to earn between 7 and 8% interest just to meet the future requirements. And to put that into perspective, $100 trillion, that's more than all the money in the world. And as the United States, we don't have all the money in the world.
So, 200 then?
to Mars and beyond.
Oh, no. So what you're saying is, let's do the rosy figure. Let's do 50. Let's say the 100 trillion that you've already acknowledged that there's not that much money physically printed in the world, right?
This includes the broad definition, which includes all the depository accounts. The narrow definition of money is just the printed stuff.
Okay.
But using the broad definition, there's not enough money in the world.
So there's even digital money included, everything, not just the United States, which this debt is looking at. That's in today's dollars. That's not considering the depreciation, say, in 10 years, when it would be gazillion. What is the next term for the trillions? 100 quadzillion. A trillion here. Who was it? Edward Bergson, Dirksen. It said, the million here, a million there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money. Well, now with inflation, it's a trillion here, a trillion there. Pretty soon we're talking about real money, Chris. I can't even spell trillion, much less figure up what it looks like or put it in my imagination. So what do we do, John?
Well, the problem is there's nothing we can do to fix it at this point. It's like you're driving towards the edge of a cliff at 100 miles an hour, and you're just a few feet away, and you slam on the brakes. It doesn't matter. We're going over that cliff.
I'm calling a Wile E. Coyote option. Is that kind of what we're doing, actually, throwing all this money from the helicopters?
If we back up, the United States should have gone bankrupt in 1971. And what Nixon did, and it doesn't matter who was president at the time, they would have had no choice. He temporarily closed the gold window. Of course, it's been closed ever since. But had he not done that, especially with what France was doing, all of our gold would have been taken and we would have been bankrupt in 1971, which probably would have been a good thing, because everything that's exploded since then means that we've got a bigger cliff to fall from.
Well, I guess if you jump off the Empire State Building, it doesn't make much difference if you jump out of a jet at 36,000 feet. You get the same results, right, John? Pretty much? In the end?
Yeah, but people think, well, maybe we just need to raise taxes on this. Well, the problem is, again, I'm going to use the $200 trillion because that's a more realistic number. And speaking of realistic numbers, if you go into the trustee report for the Social Security system, and you want to do this online, the very last table, and you have to go through the online table because it has every year listed. Just for the next 75 years, they're going to need more than $200 trillion to pay the shortfall of what's coming using their rosy numbers. But if you just think 5% interest on $200 trillion, that's $10 trillion a year. We've got government spending, federal, state, local, I'll get that pulled up as I'm talking. And we've got debt service. Well, debt service is, I guess I'll need to cover that too. But just those items ends up being more than total income. So to state it another way, you could tax 100% of all income, not just wages and salaries, and still not keep from going into the hole. How's that?
Okay, I think that's Hillary's tax plan, isn't it?
Pretty much
tax everything for everybody and take it all, and it still's not going to be enough. So all is not enough. Where does that lead us?
I'm getting there. And that federal, state, local government spending is over $6.6 trillion a year right now. So the other thought, if you can't increase taxes enough to pay for everything, what can you do? Well, you have to cut spending. Well, I went in and ran those numbers too. If you cut Social Security and Medicare right now, well, it'd get closer, but it's still not enough to fix our position.
You mean cut them out or just totally. Cut them back?
Totally cut out right now. Of course, the civil unrest would destroy the country.
Well, there's kind of a little tricky little deal with the Social Security thing, because it's not an entitlement. It is a contract, and it is a savings account, okay? Isn't it a trust fund? It is our trust fund. It is our money that we have put in there. So they can't just say, well, that's, you know, that's an entitlement. It's something that we actually are owed. It's our money.
Tim, you have not been paying attention
now,
to the captain.
I'm just
here.
Saying that's what we were told. That's the deal. So, yes, there would be a problem.
Well, that trust fund would be spelled Ponzi scheme.
Okay.
Because nothing goes into account. It's the money currently going in that pays for the benefits going out. And they will tell you that Social Security cannot go broke. Technically, that is true. They can use up the trust fund, which they're already diving into it. And when that runs out, then they can only pay out what they bring in. And the latest number I've seen is they'd have to cut benefits 29% at that point. So you'd only receive 71% of what you were expecting to receive. But it's not broke.
No, of course not. It can't go broke. You know, as long as there's taxes and money coming in, they're gonna lie about it. So,
John, can you give out your website to our listeners so some of them can tap into that? And there's some fantastic quotes to begin it, and some that we've kind of mentioned already.
Certainly. And let me do this in an easier way, because the financialstateoftheunion.com is an awfully long domain name to type in.
Yeah.
And at the conference, I introduced what's going to be my ministry website, EZE33.org. That's short for Ezekiel 33.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where the physical watchman is described. And that's the one that's on the wall that sounds the horn when the sword is coming. And that's basically what I'm doing, is I'm letting you know the sword is coming, only this time it's in the form of a financial collapse. And it's going to be just as deadly as any sword.
So we don't need nuclear attacks to take us down, or an actual nuclear-type war, or any kind of war with a foreign government, to be in a crisis that could be, you know, the feces hitting the oscillator kind of thing.
Well, if we only have a financial collapse, which would be, you know, similar to the Great Depression, that would result in the deaths of roughly 10% of the population, or a little over 30 million people. and that would be due to starvation and violence. We had about 7 million people die of starvation during the Great Depression. We have a larger population now, and what we have now that we didn't have then is this dependency class. And you may have noticed that when those food stamp terminals stop working for a few hours, that things start getting rather testy.
Absolutely, they do. But isn't the 30 million actually a little bit of a rosy scenario?
Well, that's if it's only a financial collapse, but that's not what history shows us. When you look at the lessons of history, what comes after a financial collapse is war. The most recent example, again, being the Great Depression and World War II. And we have so many more nice toys to play war with now. And the United States was very spoiled. You know, World War I, World War II, the mainland United States, you know, didn't receive any real damage. Europe was devastated both times. Well, this time, there's delivery systems that can change that and change it very quickly. And you've probably talked about how exploding a nuke at high altitude creates an electromagnetic pulse, EMP, that would destroy our electrical grid and many of the electronics that make up our daily lives today.
We've heard a little bit about that. We've mentioned it a time or two on the show, yes. We're really, really deeply upset that they could have taken, a decade ago, $2 billion and hardened our grid to keep that from happening. But, you know, they're our representatives and they love us, so we didn't need that.
But don't worry, they have spent billions of dollars, maybe even trillions, providing shelters for our wonderful, loving leaders.
Yeah, they have, haven't they? And they've just, I think they forgot somebody, John.
Well, Tim and I were invited, but Tim said he didn't want to be with those people. What's wrong with you, Tim?
Well, I'd rather, yeah. I've got better company, you know, my dog's better company, I guess, than the elite.
Yeah, you know, I remember back in the 60s when we had the civil defense shelters,
mm-hmm.
and one of the statistics I saw that was just floored me is in that in 1964, 1965, the government had enough food supplied to provide two meals a day to 100% of the population, all the population, for 3 years. We fast forward 2015, and what has the government done to take care of the United States population? Well, they can provide those same two meals a day for 1% of the population for one day. So if you expect the government to come to your rescue when this happens, good luck.
The loving liberals.
They're going to have to serve less than 1% to make their
let's compare this to what the evil, wicked Soviet Union Russia is doing. Did they actually have a drill, or was that a psyops where they had 40 million of their people go to the underground bunkers in what, Moscow alone?
Well, no.
30% of their population.
Yeah, and that was just the 30%. They've got more bunkers for more people with food and shelter and protection for their population.
Didn't you get that,
and they're mean communists.
Did you get your little Amber Alert to tell you to go to the underground facility?
You'll stick your head in the sand? Is that what
you didn't get that note, Tim?
Bend over and...
No, they were trying to...
Kiss it goodbye? Is that what you're saying?
I think we were trying...
That
no,
was
the
Amber text I got. See, bye.
I think we must have missed our. Surely they have something for us too. You know, we're Americans.
Okay, well, that's not really really funny, but it just tells you, you know, who they're thinking about, and it makes me want to cry. Continue, John.
Well, in 15 days, we'll have
don't,
a nice election and fix all this.
Oh, too. Yeah, it'll fix it all.
Yeah.
I'll vote, and I've done
it. Because I've heard the fix is in, so it should fix everything.
It should fix it all.
Okay, go on.
But to back up into the lessons of history, the reason it goes to war is because the people get upset when they can't afford to do things like eat and, you know, have shelter and things of that nature. So in order to deflect that anger, they start wars so that it's directed outward instead of inward.
Ah, the old Britain circus routine.
No, the gladiators, you know, let's have more gladiator fights at the Colosseum. Take the people's minds off.
Distract everybody.
Yeah. Maybe some big football games here in the South.
It's not just EMP.
Only we're going to be the entertainment. The Christians will be the entertainment again. Yeah. It's funny how things never change.
Yeah, full circle.
Full circle. Kill the Christians in the gladiator ring. Yeah. Patriots and Christians. Yeah. Okay. All right, John. Sorry. This is just. You know, it's like nails on the chalkboard kind of stuff. You just hear this things and hear these numbers, and they're just, I mean, it's black and white. It's solid, physical, solid, scientific stuff that just is so contrary to what we're told and the reality that we believe in this world. It's just hard to take.
Well, it goes beyond the numbers we've talked about, too. We only talked about the debt of the federal government. The debt of the United States, all government debt, public and private debt, when you add it together, is $66 trillion now.
That's this fiscal year? Or
that's
overall?
No, that's total debt that our country owes. When you take government debt, all levels, federal, state, local, corporate debt, personal debt, add it all together, $66 trillion.
Okay. Now, when we're looking at the unfunded liabilities, we're going out and some stuff, and where you're getting into the 100 and the 200 trillion for the future, right?
Well,
this is just a solid-like number today, is what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. This is what has been borrowed and you know, interest is earned on, and so just the interest on that alone is going to come up to several trillion. But that's just the United States. This is a worldwide problem. The IMF recently released numbers saying world debt is $152 trillion, and that didn't even include the financial services debt. McKinsey releases a number that's $200 trillion worth of debt. And keep in mind, we overspent the future by that much just for the prosperity that we're experiencing today.
Oh, that wasn't a joke, right?
I wish it was.
Because the prosperity we're receiving today is not all that prosperous, in my humble opinion, for most people. A few maybe, but anyway. So, continue.
So that kind of nails the numbers down. But the problem is we get into what happens. And my belief is we're going to see the war option. And with the war comes the grid down. And that's not like it's any big surprise. We can look at World War II. We flew, you know, dozens and dozens of sorties over Germany to, you know, bomb their electrical production plants so that they couldn't produce what they needed to, you know, execute their war with. So, you know, that's standard things of war. But without the grid, we've now got some big problems. Basically, everything that we're reliant on goes away. And that includes things like food and water, you know, heat, sanitation. And all of this is in the report from the EMP Commission that Congress created after 9/11. So the government knows all this stuff. It's no big surprise. But I have this nasty little habit of running numbers. You've probably heard that if we're hit with an EMP attack, that we're looking at 90% of the population being dead within a year, or something close to that.
Yes, that's what we're told that the military came up with.
Well, let me tell you the numbers I came up with. We have this just-in-time delivery system nowadays. There's no stockpiles of anything anymore. And in this just-in-time delivery system, there's a 60-day, roughly, supply of wheat. And I found a report, and it's similar for other grains as well. And assuming that you could get all of that out, which would be a trick without electricity, you've got some serious issues. And I have to overlay something else. Learned from Marjorie Wildcraft at a Get Prepared Expo that her elevator speech said, if you're not already raising your own food and you have to start growing your own veggies and if you get into, you know, things like nuts and orchards, that's even worse, but just, you know, a garden type situation. If you have anything less than 100% crop failure your first 3 years, you have a green thumb.
Yeah, when you're just starting out, yeah.
If not already raising your own food now, you've got at least a three-year learning curve, which means you better have 3 years of food stocked up while you're, you know, learning from your mistakes.
Well, I'm sure everyone has that.
I wish I did. And if you look at, again, the supply chain, 60-day supply, that's 1/6 of a year, 16%. I rounded to 15 just to make it easy. Divide that by 3 years. That's, you're now down to 5% of the population if you took everything. So I figure you can't take everything, but maybe you can get 10% out of there. And it's true, we could grow more food, but the market won't let us do that because the market says everything's going to be hunky and dory in the future. So 10% of 5% is 0.5%. So the real fatality rate is 99.5%, and it won't take a year because when that food stops, there's really nowhere to go to get food. It's too late. Even if you had the skills in the past, you can't just plant a seed and have a mature crop in 60 days. You can't hatch a chicken and have a mature chicken to eat or lay more eggs in 60 days. And you're going to be dead in 60 days.
Well, that's a rosy scenario.
And I actually had that number confirmed. There was another instructor at USA Prepares that does raised bed gardens, and he was having a seminar after one of the conferences, and he had just gotten back. And in fact, this was the very same week I calculated that number. So it's one of those God things to me. You know, you get that confirmation, you know, right then and there. So like 3 days later, he said he just came back from a high-level meeting in Langley. That's CIA headquarters. I knew he was a retired engineer. I had no idea he was CIA at that point. And he was having a discussion about these numbers with one of the people there. And it was his opinion that, you know, that 80 or 90% fatality rate was too high. Maybe it's going to be like 50 or 60%. And the guy he was talking to said, no, the fatality rate is 99.5%. Now, I have no idea how they calculated it, but to have confirmation of the number, to me, was just stunning. And if you think that's bad, just a few weeks ago, I came across a statistic that if you have the hunter-gatherer lifestyle, which is what you're reduced to if you don't have farming, it takes 10 square miles on average to sustainably support one person. So if you have a family of four, you're going to have to do that hunter-gatherer work over 40 square miles. Now, again, that, you know, numbers by themselves don't mean anything. So I sat down and you know, ran some numbers. So for, you know, I'm here in Dallas, Texas. Dallas County, which includes the city of Dallas, has 2.5 million people. The county is 909 square miles. So based on 10 square miles a person, assuming that it's not already picked over, which it would be, Dallas County could support 91 people in the hunter-gatherer lifestyle.
Wait a minute. Something's not adding up here. 2.5 million people. Was that correct? In the Dallas area?
That's correct.
909 square miles. And you're saying the hunter-gatherer is the best case scenario because you're able to hunt and gather and you know how to do game and stuff, and you're probably even a gardener. Does that include gardeners?
That's
the hunter-gatherer.
So
you get out of 2.5 million, you're talking 91.
That's how many the county could support sustainably.
Out of 2.5 million people, 91. Whew, that's a reality check.
And I ran it worldwide because odds are, you know, we're not going to stand for anybody having power left, if even if we're just the only ones attacked. We're going to go take out everybody else's grid, too. So when you look at the landmass of the Earth, not including the Arctic regions, because you can't grow anything there, not very good, you know, hunter-gatherer areas. And, you know, currently the world has over 7 billion people. And based on the square miles that are there, the whole world in a hunter-gatherer lifestyle can just support a bit over 5 million people.
5 million. So, and there's how many people? More. How many billions in the world?
7 billion, a little over 7 billion.
7 billion. So, well, hey, that, 5 million, that's a pretty good number.
Tim, I think we maybe should talk a little bit about the gospel before we get to the end of the hour. I mean,
well, you
like
do. I do believe that that this is wow. These are hard facts, folks. I mean, John's talking forensic type numbers here in accounting, and I wish we had a nicer prospect, but considering that we have heard the doom and gloom about the financial collapse from every corner of the earth, and since our the man who calls himself the president of this country is trying to start a war with Russia. And Hillary will most undoubtedly have war with Russia if she gets elected or when she gets installed as the president. This is a really likely scenario. So my suggestion would be to think long and hard about where you're putting your money and about preparing and getting ready. And John, you have some activities going on in your life that are unscheduled. Tell us what you're going to be up to the next little bit and where we can find you.
Well, I am a regular guest every Monday on the USA Preparers radio show, which is on Genesis Communications Network, GCNLive.com. And the host of USA Preparers, Vincent Vannelli, has things he's got to do, so I'm going to be guest hosting that show for the next week. And, oh, by the way, John, there's a few days I don't have guests for. So we've got our usual Dr. Norm Shealy on Wednesday. This is brilliant man, neurosurgeon. He's the doctor that invented the TENS unit. You've probably heard of that.
Yeah, TENS unit. Got one. Thank you.
So if you have any kind of health issues, that's a good day to call in on Wednesday and ask Dr. Sheely, you know, what you can do about it. Thursday gets a little out there. We have Dr. Richard Allen Miller, who used to be the lead physicist for the U.S. Navy. That's just our regular schedule. So one of the things I've been able to do is this Friday, I have John Robertson scheduled, and he was at the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas, did a presentation on Satanic Hollywood that will blow you away. And then Monday, I've got Anthony Patch, who talks about, you know, wonderful things like quantum computers, artificial intelligence, and CERN, and how it's all connected together. So it's going to be very interesting for the next few days.
Yeah, sounds like an interesting week. And you say you've just given this 99.5% fatality rate for a war EMP scenario, and you're saying that Richard Allen Miller is out there a little bit.
Well, you know, the nice thing about having him on is it makes me look sane.
I don't know. John, this is a hard pill to swallow, I have to say. And in all reality, I mean, I have to make jokes because this is so serious, folks. I have to be, you know, if I don't laugh, I'm going to be just curled up here in a fetal position crying about it. But we do have a hope, and our hope is in Jesus Christ. And I know John Reagan believes that because he has chosen Ezekiel33.org as his website and as his ministry label. And it's a little late to get into your saving faith, John, but tell us why you use the Ezekiel 33 and how you relate it as a ministry through your financial workings here.
Well,
2 minutes go.
I had the thought that with the financial state of the union, I could maybe put like an hour's worth of video up, promote that, and get back to having my own life. God had other plans. I'm still laughing about that. And that's how this has come about, and I don't have time for all the details. But basically, I got put in this position where all I can really do is sound the alarm. The watchman on the wall in the old days had it easy because everybody knew what that was about. I have to educate what the problem is, why it's so deadly, and then what can we do about it, which, 2 minutes to do that. The best example I can give goes back to the Bible, the Acts Church. You know, you are separating yourself from the world, and you're taking care of yourselves. And part of my talk in Knoxville, The Cost of Ignoring God, got into why we're in this position. And the big thing that, you know, is hurting most Christians is because we ignored Genesis 3, which was where the curse was given that man has to work hard for his food. Now, the Amish still take care of things like that, but the rest of us, when the Industrial Revolution came around, we thought Satan had a better way, and that's why we no longer have the skills to take care of ourselves. You know, time is short. The most important thing is to have your spiritual house in order, but beyond that, the best we can do is, because none of us have the resources, this getting together and as different parts of the body coming together, filling in all those skills and resources so that, you know, the body of the church could make it through such a catastrophe.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's actually well put, and that's what I encourage every one of our listeners to do. Is to have a church, have a group, have a body of believers with skills to help cover each other and protect each other for the times that are coming. I mean, it's no longer, you know, if it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And it seems like the time is shorter still, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can just feel the tension from this, you know, what is it, 14 days away till November 8th. And you know, I've seen posts on the internet, if such and such wins, we go to the streets and vice versa. So, you know, it's time, as I said, plan B, I think, is plan A here, to have a relationship with your Creator. Amen. And have peace with Him. You know, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It's not a time to be laying awake at night with a guilty conscience for things you haven't settled on earth. And it's time to live like you were dying.
Absolutely. Well, one thing about the conference that we had here in Knoxville, and about John's speech on the cost of ignoring God, is that it so well brought the physical aspect of our world together with the spiritual aspect of our world. I won't say the physical is the real world. I think the spiritual is the real world. And it brought those together to paint a picture that while it wasn't something that we really want to look at, is something that's necessary for all of us to see and make a decision. It's coming down to decision time. It's coming down to where you've got to choose life or death. You're going to have to do it in the voting booth. You're going to have to do it in the world. And you're probably going to have to do it at your job or wherever you are. It is coming down to that, folks. And we need to be on God's side, and we need to be right with Him. John, buddy, the hour has gone fast. I hope you'll do it again for us.
How can people check out the radio show you're going to be on?
If you go to my website, eze33.org, I've got an events tab that takes you back to the financialstateoftheunion.com, and that gives you the link to GCN Live that will get you where you can listen. And GCN offers their podcasts at no charge, so you don't have to listen live. You can go to their website and get the MP3s or listen live anytime you want to.
Okay. We see it now. All right.
Well, John, thank you so much for being with us. And like I say, we'll get with you again on the cost of ignoring God if we have that opportunity in the short time that's left. Thanks again, folks, everyone listening. Please repent, turn to the Lord, and prepare for what will be your future. Thank you, Chris. That's
Thank
it
you,
for
Ken.
The Cox and Curse Show. Take us out, Paul.
The days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice in the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation
on the show this week. $16. And the hydro water purification system, don't forget about that. How many people wish they would have had